Blog Talk Radio.
La notte a târziu,
it was very late at night.
Stăteam pe o piatră afară.
I was sitting outside on a rock.
Lui Stan i-am arătat piatra că nu a fost la mine.
As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home.
Acolo stăm și mă gândeam ce am făcut eu.
And I was just thinking, what did I do?
Plângeam să nu mă vadă familia.
I was crying so my family wouldn't see me.
Deodată am văzut că vine o lumină spre mine.
And all of a sudden I saw a light coming towards me.
Când am văzut lumina, am crezut că e o mașină.
When I saw the light, I thought it was a car.
În Italia și în România m-au urmărit cu mașina să mă omoare.
Because in Romania and in Italy they always try to run me over with cars.
După mine și aici.
So I thought they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină.
But it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit.
The light surrounded me.
Și din lumina am auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești tu disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why did you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-a lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am unde pleca cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California.
Ce-ți arăt?
Do you see what I've shown you?
E Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească prin foc.
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
In one day it will burn.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Florida.
And then he showed me Florida.
Aici e Florida.
This is Florida.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va arde.
And in one day it will burn.
Da, cu mine ce ai să
faci? I've
been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us. Yes, this is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am your host, Michael Boldea, and we are back. We are live, and the only problem that we're having this particular evening is where to begin, because boy, oh boy, there's a lot to talk about. I apologize about last week. I'll get into that a little later. I'm almost over whatever it is that it was. It was more than allergies. So if you hear a coughing fit starting or if I am unable to continue, Gina will take over. But yeah, it hasn't been a fun couple weeks. But I guess the first thing that I do want to discuss is probably the worst kept secret ever, because apparently everyone's been writing me and congratulating me already. But yeah, it looks like we're going to have another baby. We're going to have our second child. And at the ripe old age of 40-something, I'm going to be a dad again. And by all accounts, it seems it's going to be another girl. So yay, me with three women in the house. That sounds like just loads and loads of fun. Seriously, though, I couldn't be more excited. Looks like the baby's healthy, and that's the only thing that I prayed for and continue to pray for. It didn't matter to me whether it was a boy or a girl, as long as it was healthy. That was my one request. That was my one continual prayer. And so, yes, the baby is healthy. Yes, the baby will be a girl. And sometime the beginning of December, we'll keep you updated along the way, I guess. But this is what's happening in the Boldea household. Other than that, and I guess about a flu that my wife Just got through, you know, she's doing okay, a little morning sickness and whatnot. But everything's tip-top. We're excited. Still haven't broken the news to Victoria yet. We got our ways to go. And I'm sure she'll take to it like a duck to water, because she's... We've asked her before if she wants a brother or a sister, and she always answers a sister. And she always answers in the affirmative, and it's good. It's good to have siblings. If at all you can swing having siblings, or your parents can swing giving you siblings, it really is a benefit in the long term. Because I've known a lot of children that were only children to their parents, and I've known children with siblings. I have siblings. I have two little brothers. And you grow up different. You grow up learning to share more, and you grow up expressing affection, I think, in greater measure. But I'm not going to get into child psychology right now, because that's not the point of the program, is it? A lot has been happening over the past couple of weeks. But then again, it seems we've been on the bullet train to relevant events for the past couple of years now. And the issue with everything that's happening, and the fact that it's happening in such quick succession, is that you hardly have time to process one thing before another thing takes its place. And the thing you thought of paramount import basically gets pushed back to make room and make way for the new thing that just occurred. It's a vicious cycle. Just when you think something, you know, is going to grab headlines for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month, it gets blown out of the water in 30 minutes or less. And it's amazing to see just how many things slip through the cracks, even with the 24-hour news cycle, and how there are certain evergreen themes, apparently. Certain things that the media is absolutely fixated upon that are eclipsing far more relevant and necessary news stories. As far as last week is concerned, as I said, I tried. I really did. I was in the office, but my allergies turned into something more. So I've sort of been coughing up a lung for the past 2 weeks. My wife caught it. And so it has not been a pleasant time. I think I was close to producing my own body weight in mucus and phlegm over the course of 10 days or so. And that's saying a lot, because those of you that know me know that I'm not a sickly or thin gentleman. Feeling a bit better now, at least enough to be with you for about an hour. So if you hear, again, if you hear coughing or heaving in the background, just be forewarned. I'm not completely over it. I'm not 100%. Maybe 75 to 80. So that's where we are. Thankfully, Victoria has not been affected, because with both my wife and I in less than optimal health, it would have been even more of a hardship if the baby had gotten sick as well. But she hasn't. She hasn't been coughing, no sniffling, no sneezing. None of the stuff that we've been going through. She's just been a very, very happy and active 3-year-old. And yeah, in June, my daughter's turning 3. I have a 3-year-old. Tempest fugit and then some. Time does fly, kids. So make use of the time that you have. It's a biblical principle to work while it's still day. That's what it means. It means to make use of the time that you have while you have it. Don't squander the most precious resource that you have at your disposal. Because time is unequivocally your most precious resource. It's not money. It's not intelligence. It's not things. It's not stuff. It's not stature. It's not social standing. The most important thing that you have, the most valuable resource that you possess, fleeting resource, is time. And the more gray hairs appear on my head and in my beard, and the more I see my daughter growing up, the more that kind of resonates. It hits home. Time is a very fleeting thing. But over the past couple weeks, even with the constant nose blowing and coughing, I have been keeping abreast of what's been going on in the world. And boy, oh boy, has it been a busy couple of weeks. As far as the media is concerned, however, nothing's more important, including, you know, the religion of peace going after and targeting teenage and preteen girls. But nothing's more important than keeping the narrative of Russian collusion alive. So even as the attack was unfolding, and if you don't know what happened, Manchester, England, very, very bad thing, 22 people dead because the religion of peace is out to demonstrate just how peaceful it is. Even with all that, while it was unfolding, you had certain news outlets continue to talk about Russia and Russian collusion, even though there's no evidence, even though they can't even pinpoint a crime that occurred. But this is the narrative that they've established. This is the narrative that they've created out of whole cloth, and they have to run with it because they got nothing else. It's the way it is. Just in case that, you know, in case you haven't been keeping score, in case, you know, this is the only thing you listen to, which is highly unlikely, but here we are. There is no evidence to support their claim. It's just hearsay and dwindling hope that they'll find something, anything, to confirm their allegations, because if it turns out that there was no collusion, then that would mean that they lost the election outright and that their platform was rejected by the American people. And this is their worst nightmare. And when I say there, I mean these imbecilic buffoons who think that just because they pretend to be someone intelligent on television or in a movie, they are so in real life. Because you played a genius doesn't make you a genius. You pretended at being a genius. I'm not going to take advice from you just because you pretended to be a genius in a movie. Sorry, that's not the way it works. The world is just a smidge too complex for me to take advice on global matters from the likes of Rhodes Scholar Katy Perry, whose claim to fame is her confession in song that she kissed a girl and liked it. So let's pull back on the throttle a bit before we start making plans to surrender to Islam because Katy Perry said we should hug it out. Like, you know, like no walls and no borders, just like, you know, hug it out, coexist. Like, you know, seriously. And people, oh, brilliant. This is the answer. Why haven't we discovered this brilliant answer sooner? Of self-awareness, you demented buffoon. Just announce. Go hug a suicide bomber and spare us your pie-in-the-sky unicorns and rainbows life philosophy when you travel with an entourage of bodyguards and live behind walls and security systems. I'm sick of these elitist people talking down to the average citizen when they don't understand that they will never have to live through the uncertainty of returning home alive from the store or from a concert because they're sheltered, because they have round-the-clock security, because they're not the ones putting on flip-flops and going to the Pick and Save to buy a gallon of milk just to wake up with a guy running down the aisles with a machete yelling Allahu Akbar and wanting to decapitate you. So yeah, in case you haven't heard, another adherent to the religion of peace decided it was the right time to get in on the 70 Virgins franchise and chose a concert venue as the place to do it. Again, this happened in Manchester, England. So far, from all the reports, 22 dead, the youngest of which was an 8-year-old little girl. Just absolutely horrific. Just horrific. There's no other way to define it other than horrific and barbaric. Yet you have much of the media going on about how this might increase anti-Islamic sentiment, or how there might be a spike in Islamophobia. Sorry, kitty, but between you being inconvenienced by not being allowed to enter my country because you come from a hotbed of terrorism, and up until yesterday you were reading literature on how to destroy the great Satan, and me standing over my daughter's casket, I'll take your inconvenience every day of the week and twice on Sunday. Because this is what it is. We've been coddling barbarians. Bloodthirsty, medieval barbarians. We've been coddling their religion in the West and calling it something that it's not. It is not a religion of peace. And there's this visible and glaring disconnect between what the average citizen is feeling and thinking and what the supposed elites of society and the mainstream media are trying to shove down our throats every single night. The new narrative now, the new thing that they're attempting to push, is that terrorism is the new normal. If you want to live anywhere near a medium to large size city. Yeah, just something you have to get used to. Something you should expect. Something that comes with the inflated rent prices and Indian food joints. So yeah, it's you have to live with it now. That's it. Don't question. Don't conclude certain things based on the pattern that is emerging committing these things. Just live with it. Expect it. Get used to it. Look, any civilization that capitulates to the idea that barbarians murdering their teenage girls with nail bombs is the new normal, that it's something they have to suck up and accept, does not deserve to survive as a civilization. Any civilization that capitulates to the idea that rather than eradicate this menace, rather than put every last one of these murderers in the dirt, we're supposed to turn a blind eye to what they're doing and just bite our lips and bury our heads and hold our breath until the next one deserves. I'm angry. I'm angry and I'm frustrated. Any civilization that capitulates to this new normal honestly deserves everything that it's got coming to it. Let me just put it that way. Sorry, that's just the reality of the situation. And you know that I'm right. If you capitulate to the idea that this is how it's going to be from now on, rather than what can we do to stop this from happening again, then you deserve to live in fear. But see, I believe that eventually one of two things will happen. Either enough people will stop watching and listening to and financing these buffoons and they'll go broke, or there will be a sustained and building outcry from the citizenry wherein these people will literally have the stupid scared out of them. Because, I'm sorry, political correctness notwithstanding, when you get up in front of people on television and with a straight face say, well, what are you going to do? This is the new normal. I can't call you intelligent. For the life of me, I can't bring myself to name you anything less than foolish. Look, this cannot persist for much longer. I do believe that it's reaching a boiling point. And I believe that when it erupts, when it finally boils over, it will not be pretty, and it will not be controlled, and it will not be absent of violence. See, it's one thing to lie to an entire country without them knowing that you're lying to them. It's quite another to be proven a liar, and that you lie systematically, and that you're putting everything from your credibility to your dignity on the line to further a particular agenda. Every time I hear these people refer to themselves as journalists, I can't help but roll my eyes and clench my teeth. Look, being able to read a teleprompter does not make you a journalist. Having coiffed hair and perfectly capped teeth does not make you a journalist. Being absolutely void of any sort of journalistic integrity does not make you a journalist. What you have in our day and age are pretty faces, empty brain pans, socialist views, and an air of superiority that seeps through their pores every time they get on camera and start telling you what you should think, how you should feel, and how you're a bigot and a racist if your inclination is to protect your family and keep them safe. This is an ongoing thing with me. And with each passing day, my patience gets that much thinner with these people. And if I'm feeling this way, I can only assume that pretty much everyone else is in the same boat. Because if I've come to the point of feeling this way, I'm not one who reacts quickly or harshly to anything. I'm a pretty level-headed guy. But this is getting to me. So if it's getting to me, I'm assuming it's getting to a lot of people. Now, before we get to the president's trip abroad, and the fact that, have you noticed he comes across very differently, apparently, when he's not seen through the prism and filter of the mainstream press? But before we get to that, another court, this time the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, just upheld the ruling of not allowing the prohibition or the prohibiting of immigrants from certain nations. I've said this before, and I will reiterate. If perchance we have something along the lines of what just happened in Manchester occur here, and it turns out that this person or persons would have been kept out by the ban if it had been left in place, these judges should be tried for treason and sedition and giving aid and comfort to the enemy. Point I'm at right now, because judicial activism has to end in this country. You can't play nice while the other guy's trying to stab you in the eye with a rusty screwdriver every chance he gets. This whole kumbaya, let's hold hands and understand each other's feelings, horse manure that guys like Glenn Beck are trying to push is nonsense on its face. The other side does not want to understand where you're coming from. They don't want to take your feelings into account. They're driven by the agenda of globalism, and they are willing to sacrifice their own blood on the altar of diversity if it means getting their way. This is war. Plain and simple, this is war. And the singular imperative in any war is to survive. Survival. Live long enough to beat the other guy. survival is the imperative. If we don't understand what's at stake, if we don't understand that the other side plays dirty and has been since the very beginning, if we don't understand that these people will stop at nothing, no matter how absurd and out of left field, then we're going to lose, and we're going to lose big. And when they regain power, when once more they take the reins, they will make certain that they will retain it forever and ever. I promise you, this is what is going to happen, because this is the way they operate. I'm wondering if I'm the only one noticing this. Because I can't be the only one noticing this. You have most of the media talking out of two sides of their mouth. And they need to pick which one Donald Trump is. Either he's semi-illiterate who can't tie his own shoes, or he's a mastermind that was able to hide collusion with the Russians so well that they haven't been able to find the evidence yet. Because you can't be both. And before giving his speech in Saudi Arabia and Israel and today in front of NATO, to hear some of these people talking, you'd think that he spelled his name out in crayon every morning. And if you listen to these speeches, they're deep and profound, and they're well-rounded. And unlike some speeches that I've heard in the past by other presidents, there are certain things that are absolutely memorable. Things that connect with the average citizen. Things that stay with you. And you know exactly what I'm talking about if you've heard the speeches. The one in Saudi Arabia, the big thing was drive them out. That was the thing that stuck. And that's brilliant messaging. Because you can listen to a speech for 30 minutes and not walk away remembering anything that was said. This was not the case with any of the speeches that this man gave while he was on his world tour, I guess you'd say it. So the media has to decide whether he's a criminal mastermind or a buffoon. He can't be both at once. But see, for them to keep moving the goalposts, for them to keep redefining everything at a whim, is not only unfair, it's dangerous if we continue to allow it. Now, another thing that just broke today was another hidden video showing abortion providers talking candidly about what abortion really is and what it is they actually do to babies. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, find it after the program. It will make your blood boil. Look, there are real ghouls and real monsters living among us. And many of them make an appearance in this video. It's just frightening. And altogether stomach-churning to hear what these people say and how nonchalantly they say it. And even the laughter elicited from the audience when a lady talks about how sharp skull fragments are. It's just beyond the pale. These things are making me old. This constant barrage of inhumanity is getting to me. There's an article that accompanies this video, and it says this: newly released footage of the 2014 and 2015 National Abortion Federation trade show. I know. Listen to that again. Just for a second. National Abortion Federation trade show. Not only is there a National Abortion Federation, the National Abortion Federation has a trade show. I have a friend who's a landscaper, and every year he does a trade show in Milwaukee. And what a trade show entails is every company comes and basically puts out their merchandise. This is what we do. This is what we can do. This is how we work. This is our best of. My question, ever since I read this article, is what exactly is on the tables and in the booths of those who are participating in the National Abortion Federation trade show? That in itself sounds so ghoulish as to make me want to stop reading. But I persevered. I kept reading, and I'm going to read it to you too, so you understand the kind of evil that we're dealing with. Newly released footage of the 2014 and 15 National Abortion Federation trade shows reveal abortionists discussing the difficulties they face in their jobs. Yes, poor you. Such as, listen, such as the head that gets stuck that we can't get out, and an eyeball just fell down into my lap, and that is gross. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? These monsters are bemoaning the difficulty of their jobs while talking about the eyeball of a baby, a human being, falling into their lap and it being gross, or about the head that got stuck that they can't get out. You see, their big defense has always been, it's just a clump of cells. It's just a clump of cells. They're talking about the head that is fully formed to such an extent that it gets stuck and they can't get it out. The video published to YouTube on Wednesday is the work of the Center for Medical Progress leader, David Daladin. Who, along with co-defendant Sandra Merritt, has been charged with 15 felony counts under California's law protecting confidential conversations. That's right. The people who exposed this are being charged with felonies in California because they dared to bring to light the monstrosity of certain peoples living among us. Daladin's criminal defense attorneys say the California Attorney General's interest in his case, is entirely political, meant to manipulate the law, to do the bidding of their benefactors at Planned Parenthood. Former Los Angeles County District Attorney Steve Cooley, our defending Daladin, the journalist who released the series of videos in 2015 that shocked the nation as they brought attention to the fetal tissue procurement industry. I'm going to keep reading this because there's more. You thought the eyeball and the head were the highlights. No, there's more. The undercover investigation led to congressional probes into allegations that Planned Parenthood sells the body parts of babies aborted in its clinics for a profit, and to vehement cries for the elimination of Planned Parenthood's taxpayer funding. Cooley and former Los Angeles County Deputy District Attorney Brentford Ferreira are launching a new media resource page that features all the filings in the case against Daladin and all the videos mentioned by the California AG in their complaint, including those that have never been seen before. In the new video, which is a compilation of excerpts from video filmed at the trade shows, abortionist Dr. Susan Robinson of Planned Parenthood is heard saying, listen again, don't plug up your ears, don't pretend like you're not hearing, come on all you heavenly minded that are of no earthly good, feet on the ground just a little while, listen to what is happening while the church is in absentia, while we're building cathedrals, while we're marching in gay pride parades to show tolerance to the devil. Listen to what is happening. Dr. Robinson is heard saying, the fetus is a tough little object, and taking it apart, I mean taking it apart on day one, is very difficult. Dr. Lisa Harris, medical director of Planned Parenthood Michigan, is also heard saying, let's just give them all the violence. It's a person, it's killing. Let's just give them all that. This woman just admitted to murder. It's a person, it's killing. Give them all that. Since when are murderers above the law in this country? But no, brother, no, no. Joel Osteen's got a new book coming out on how you can ignore by looking in the mirror and smiling at yourself. Ignore it all. Because why should we pollute our joy with what's going on around us? Really? Director of Abortion Services for Planned Parenthood Gulf Coast, Dr. N. Shut Ain, states in the video, I'm doing a procedure, and I'm seeing that I'm in fear that it's about to come to the umbilicus, navel. I might ask for a second set of forceps to hold the body at the cervix and pull off a leg or two. So it's not PBA, which is partial birth abortion. This woman is admitting to the fact that if the baby got beyond the cervix, it would be viable, therefore living and alive. But just so she's not performing a PBA for a second set of forceps and pull off a leg or two. Like a cockroach or a grasshopper. Remember when you were a kid and that mean kid in the neighborhood used to catch grasshoppers and pull off their legs? We had one of those kids in our neighborhood. He was either Korean or Chinese, but man, he was mean. Crunch, crunch. Ask for a second set of forceps. Pull off a leg or two. But hey, it's not PBA. Okay, all you self-righteous Christians. You holier than thou-ers. Don't concern yourself with this. No, you just keep on keeping on telling everybody that your neighbor ran for president and we didn't vote him, and so we're all Ichabod. You keep telling yourself that we're not supposed to be doing anything to defend the innocent and those that cannot defend themselves. Keep soothing your conscience with hashtags and Facebook posts. If I'm doing a procedure and I'm seeing that I'm in fear that it's about to come to the umbilicus, I might ask for a second set of forceps to hold the body at the cervix and pull off a leg or two so it's not PBA. Do you realize that if someone was caught on tape talking about doing that to a kitten or to a puppy, they would be facing jail time. But hey, it's just a baby. It's just a human being. 7 billion of those mumbling around. Bring on the forceps. Pull off a leg or two so it's not PBA. The article continues. In April of 2016, Daladin contacted SCA immediately after agents of the AG's office served a search warrant at his home and confiscated his computer, hard drives, and electronic documents. See, these people realize that if this gets out, if what they are doing sees the light of day, there's still enough people who possess humanity in this country that there will be an outcry. If you watch this video, this woman is sitting. No one ever tells you skulls are sharp when they're broken. And you hear laughter from the crowd. I felt like going home and washing myself with chlorine. With bleach, with something that would take off at least a layer of skin. I felt dirty just watching this. This is what is happening while the church is in absentia. This is what is happening. While we'll waste away the days debating whether it's a pre-trib or post-trib or mid-trib rapture. I don't know. You know, it's... Do we deserve eternity when we're just sitting on our hands and watching this happening? It's unbelievable to me. So, from reading this article, basically what's going to happen here is that they're once again going to try to criminalize the people who put this video out and do their utmost not to discuss the content. This is the same trick they pulled with the leaked emails a few months ago. Nobody was asking if they were real or not. They just went on a witch hunt for the Russian hackers. You're going to see a concerted effort by the media to criminalize these people that put the videos out, and not one of them is going to ask, but what about what these people said? What about the lady talking about the extra set of forceps and pulling off a leg or two? What about the other lady talking about how they try to preserve brains because, you know, it's sort of like KFC, you order the body part that you want, and so they're gonna have to, you know, fill your order somehow. You have these supposed doctors talking about murder, and that's what it is. I don't care who you are. If your sensibilities are offended by my words, prove me wrong. Talking about murder. These women, and I use the term loosely, perhaps women insofar as their biology, but God knows not as far as humanity is concerned. These women are glorifying the idea, and they're glorying in stories of how they dismember babies and rip off their arms and legs just so they could get around the pesky partial birth abortion rules. And like I said, I guarantee you, it's the people that caught this on tape that will be criminalized again, and no one will say a thing to these ghouls. There is absolutely no excuse for every single believer to not pick up their telephone and call their congressman and demand that Planned Parenthood be defunded. Do it once a day for 7 days. Then do it another 7 days. Oh, Brother Michael, there you go. You're getting political. You're telling us to wade into politics. I know. Too heavenly minded and of no earthly good. This is what your silence is wreaking upon the world. Every single person that calls themselves a believer in this country would, every single day for 7 days, call their representative, call their congressman, call their senator, and insist that Planned Parenthood be defunded. Imagine what would happen. What is it? Last count, 70% say they're Christians. That's a lot of people. Who's going to follow through? Less than 1%? If that. I rip off a leg or two so that it's not PBA. Just remember that with your morning coffee. I don't know. Gotten to the point where you feel like checking out, but you know that you can't. Because the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. So do something. Do something. Pick up a phone. Make your voice heard. Because the godless are not afraid of making their voices heard. Anyway, we have a question to answer from Brother Douglas, and since we didn't get to it last time that we were together, I'll get to the question now and be as brief in my answer as possible, because it looks like we're running out of time again. But the question is this: Dear Michael Boldea, many are teaching born-again believers can be under a generational curse. I don't believe this is true. Can you provide biblical insight? Thank you and God bless. Brother Douglas. Oh, I've had this discussion with so many believers. Come back to Romans 6. Because if we are buried with Christ in God, then we are essentially dead to the world, to the devices of the world, and that includes curses. Romans 6 says this: What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. So, generational curses ought to affect you as a believer who was buried with Christ through baptism into death, as a generational curse affects an honest-to-goodness dead person. I do not believe in generational curses for believers. I believe that when a believer becomes a former believer, then things that we would consider generational curses, like alcoholism, vice, things like that, That's devils coming home to roost and bringing friends. But that only happens when an individual is no longer under the covering of Christ. When they walk away from truth, when they walk away from life, when they depart, as Paul would say. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. In Christ Jesus our Lord, amen and amen. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for putting up with my strange voice and my coughing. Thank you for taking the time. And hopefully next week we will be together once more. But as I encouraged, go find this video and watch it. Let it open your eyes to the persistent evil in this world, but also to the reality that you still have time to step onto the front lines. God bless you and keep you. Gino, it's all yours.
All right. Thank you, Michael. We just want to thank everyone for listening tonight to the Moment of Truth broadcast. Michael does take your questions. Email them in at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. And also an event coming up in June the 24th, we will be holding a praise and worship night in Shipshewana, Indiana, at Ben's Soft Pretzels Conference Room at 100 Berkshire Street Road. Actually, it's right in Shipshewana, Indiana. It starts at 6:30. Also, if you would like to invite Mike to come to your church, you can email us again at lightoftruth@handofhelp.com. Please keep us in prayer. Get the word out that the radio show is always put on YouTube a couple days after we air it here on Blog Talk. God bless you. Have a safe and blessed Memorial weekend. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth, with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you.